Good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Very small group. We got a lot of people out of town. Patrick and his family, they're back in Texas, headed this direction this morning. And Karen and Thurman are gone. Big Dave and Little Dave, they're down at A&M for their firefighter training to protect our community from fire. And Miss Eileen, I think she said she was going to see her kids in Tyler this weekend. So just a lot of people out. So it looks very roomy in here this morning. But we are going to continue as though there is a full crowd here. So you guys are going to have to cheer louder at the parts where you get spoken to. Anyway, so we've been doing the Heroes of the Faith thing throughout the summer. And this week we are going to be talking about a different hero of the faith who gets mentioned but usually very light because he's overshadowed by Jesus as he should be in the storyline. But I want you guys to kind of understand the setup and how this all worked out before we move into the scripture of it. I want to give you some context of the whole thing. We talked about before how Israel had fallen to Roman oppression because they were disobedient to God. And God kept telling them, if you guys keep doing what I tell you not to, then I'm going to take away my hand and let other people. You're going to find out that it's by my power that you guys are doing well and by nothing else. So they continued to be disobedient. You okay? So it was by his power alone that they were being successful in the land of Israel. But he had pulled away, so Rome came in and Rome had conquered their area. And Rome had hired Jewish people to be tax collectors. So the tax collectors were these guys. They'd go around collecting the taxes for Rome, but they would also kind of get a little bit more from people. And that's how they made their living, and that's how they became very, very, very wealthy. And then there were the chief tax collectors who had other tax collectors working with them, and they continued to make themselves rich. And the people that were of the time, they could not separate what these Jewish guys did for their job versus what versus who they were. They were still Jewish people. They didn't want anything to do with them because of the way that they were collecting taxes and working on the side of Rome instead of for the Jewish people. And it's kind of like that today. You know, sometimes we have a hard time separating what it is that we do from who we are. We don't really make that part of it. We want to keep our beliefs over here and our work is over here, and the two shouldn't commingle, because if you talk about Jesus at work, then you can lose your job. I'm not very good at doing that, though. I still talk about Jesus at work. So during this same time was whenever Jesus had started up his ministry. So we have Rome has they're oppressing the Jews. They've got their tax collectors, and then there's this teacher that everybody's hearing about all across Israel. This teacher that was coming in, and he was teaching with authority like none of the other rabbis or the Pharisees or anyone spoke to anybody. This guy was it came from a carpenter family. He was a carpenter, but yet he was teaching things that people hadn't heard. And they're hearing that he's healing people. He is casting out demons. He's doing all these great things. So as he's about to be coming through Jericho, all the people that were there in Jericho started hearing that he was headed their direction. He was going to be passing through. So just like everywhere that he went, these crowds went out to catch him on the roads. And as this crowd goes out and crowds around Jesus and the disciples, and they're kind of moving down this path, and Jesus is teaching along the way. And I'm sure that some of the people were probably there because they had things that they wanted to be healed of. But they're there, and this this crowd of people is gathering around him as they walk while he's talking. So that's kind of where we're at. So now I want to kind of set it up where you guys can see like the perspective of the people. So you're hearing about this guy coming into your town, and you want to go out and see him. So all these people, they ran out there to the road, and they gathered around. They're probably pressed up against a lot of the people from Jericho, and they're trying to move along behind Jesus, and maybe they get out there and they get in the crowd, so they're being pressed from behind, they're being pressed against the people in front of them, and they're trying to catch a glimpse to see Jesus, and maybe they get like a little bit, but then somebody's head gets in the way. You guys have sat in pews in churches before where somebody's head blocks you and you can't see the preacher anymore, so I'm sure it was kind of like that, and they're trying to see up ahead and see what's going on, but then you feel like this little bump against your leg, and you're like, what in the world is that? And there's just some little short dude down there that's making his way through the crowd, and he's jumping up, and he's trying to get a look too. But then he scurries on out, and you don't get to see him anymore, but you're still trying to get your own glances at this guy that's up there teaching ahead, that you can kind of hear what he's saying, but you can't see him very well. And then before long, as you're moving along down this road, someone needs to turn off their phone. I don't know who has on their phone, but y'all need to turn it off real quick. Okay, for the people listening to the recording, it's me. So before long, you're walking down the road. You're kind of moving slowly because there's this big crowd all the way around this guy as he's teaching all around. They're walking in front of him, behind him, everywhere. And then you see some trees kind of move up ahead, and you notice that there's a guy climbing up into the tree, and you're like, what in the world? And then you look closer, and you go, oh, my gosh, that's Zacchaeus. That's the little short tax collector dude climbing up into the tree. So then you start going, what in the world is he doing? He was just over at my house yesterday. Is he about to try to get some more money out of somebody? You know, what's going through their minds when they're trying to figure out what's happening with Zacchaeus? But so while all these people are looking, and they're listening to Jesus, and they see Zacchaeus in the distance climbing up in this tree, they're probably wondering, what's going on with all this? Why is he doing all this up there? What is his plot and his plan? But now we want to look at it from Zacchaeus' perspective. So we're going to step out of the first person, and we're going to look at Zacchaeus. So he is a tax collector, and he's heard about all these great things that this teacher is doing and the demons that he's cast out and the healings, and he probably has some needs of his own. So he makes his way down the road to get to where this teacher is coming into town before he's passing through. And he walks into the crowd, and he tries to work his way through there, but he's a short little guy, so he's having a hard time making his way through. And finally, he works into the crowd and then works his way back out and tries to run around, keeps trying to find his way in, but can't get anywhere where he can see Jesus. So finally, he sees a tree in the distance, so he's like, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to run over there and climb up into this tree, and whenever they pass by, I'll finally get to see what who this teacher is that I've been hearing so much about. So he scurries up in the tree, and you got to bear in mind, too, that during this time, whenever we did the study about a year ago or so of the prodigal sons, you remember in their culture, it was not like them to pull up their tunic and take off running like the father did to the prodigal son. So it wasn't very becoming of him to, you know, hike up that tunic and scurry his way up into a tree, but he wanted to see Jesus pretty bad. He wanted to know who this guy was. So gets up into the tree, the crowd's moving along, and then they get there to where Jesus is underneath of the tree. And everybody's been noticing Zacchaeus already, but they're like, uh-oh, what's about to happen to him? And Zacchaeus is looking down, and he finally sees Jesus, and he sees his white flowing robe and his perfectly trimmed beard and his blonde hair and blue. Okay, you probably didn't see that at all, but that's what we want to think, right? In the European culture that we come from, they had made Jesus into that guy, and we don't know what he actually looked like. So he finally sees what Jesus looks like in this teacher, and then just as he does, Jesus looks up and says, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. And all the people are going, ooh, he's about to get it. And they might even, you know, spread about that tree to make room for the Zacchaeus to come down. And Jesus is about to beat him up with words. But Jesus doesn't beat him up. Instead, Jesus says, I want to go eat at your house today. So Zacchaeus has come down out of the tree. Jesus says that he wants to go eat with him. And then the people around him start grumbling. They're like, why is he wanting to go over to the tax collector's house? That guy's been ripping us off. Why in the world would Jesus want to go eat with this sinner? So they're kind of grumbling a little bit, but then Jesus goes over to his house immediately, and then they start conversing inside of the house. And then while they're conversing, Zacchaeus stands up and he says, I want to sell my stuff, and I want to give half of it away to all the poor people. And for anybody that I've ripped off, I want to pay them back fourfold, four times the amount that I ripped off from them. So we can see from the story that this tax collector who went after Jesus, his life was changed that very day. And we're going to read in the scripture and see how his life was changed. So I'm going to go to Luke 19 and verse 1. I think I put that in the computer. Is it in there? Oh, it is. So he entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and came down and received him joyfully. And when they all saw it, they all grumbled. Yeah, he's going over to the chief tax collector's house. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Tax collectors were sinners. They weren't perfect like all the rest of the people at that time. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and he was Zacchaeus was went looking for Jesus that day, and whenever he found him, he could have said, you know, no, I don't really want anything to do with Jesus. He's I've seen what he looks like now. It's all good. So I don't even need to. Hey, before that, he could have said, no, I don't even care to go out there and see Jesus at all. But then whenever Jesus said to come down out of the tree, he could have been, I don't want anything to do with that. But then whenever Jesus says, I want to go over to your house, he could have been, no, I don't have you in my house. I haven't done all the dishes. I haven't picked up the living room enough. My yard has a house halfway torn down in it. There's dirt piled up everywhere around that place. So I don't want you over there at my house today, Jesus. But instead, he let him come into his house. And whenever he was there and talking with Jesus, he could have been like, man, this stuff is just too far out there for me. I don't want anything to do with that. But instead, Jesus changed his life that day. He invited him into his home, and Jesus came over there, and his life was changed forever that day, so much that he was willing to give up his riches in order to be what Jesus wanted him to be. So the question today is, what's blocking us from finding Jesus, from seeing him as well as what we could in our life? What's the obstacle or whatever that's standing in our way of seeing what Jesus would have us do with our lives so that salvation can be found in our home? We know that we're saved, but we know that our relationship with Jesus could also always be better. But what kind of things stand in the way of spending time with Jesus and building our relationship? It could be a variety of things. It's something different for you guys than what it probably is for me, but there's always something separating us from Jesus, and it's always something that is sinful that we have to confess and turn away from. We have to repent from that, and that's a tough thing to do. And I want to kind of tell you guys what I think it is that Satan has put in the way of me and my relationship with Jesus that I know clearly could be better, because it can always be better. We can never grow spiritually enough. So the thing that stands in my way is usually some type of addiction. I'm not wanting anybody to start thinking that I'm like going crack cocaine or something like that, because I'm not. I've never done any kind of drugs. I'm not an alcoholic. The worst physical addiction I've ever had is smoking, and I did that for a very long time, but I managed to kick that 5.5 years ago or so. So I don't have smoking anyway, but my addiction can be a range of different things. One of the big ones was gaming. I've talked about that before, but I haven't played games in quite some time other than that game that we play, Minecraft. And yes, sir. Huh? I can live without I can't even say that. I can't live without hamburgers. I love hamburgers. You're right. So for me, what stands in my way is like social media. There's a lot of times Facebook, not Instagram or any of the dumb sites. Facebook is the good one. I get on Facebook, and sometimes I will actively know that I need to go and spend time in prayer and spend time reading the Word, but I will choose Facebook over spending time with Jesus. For some people, it can be something different. I'll choose Facebook, or I will choose just reading articles or doing something different whenever I know that I need to be spending time with Jesus. And so that addiction to Facebook, where I want to know what's happening, who's liked what, who's talking about what. I'll see something at the beginning of the day, and I'll think about it in the evening. I wonder how that conversation turned out. And then wrapping up myself in Facebook, and then I miss the time that I need to for Jesus. And that doesn't happen every day. I read the Bible every day purposefully. You can see on my phone, except for the people that are going to be listening to this, on the home screen of my phone, I have a scripture right there, and I make an effort to read that scripture every single day so that I take in at least a scripture. But throughout the day, on most days on Facebook, a lot of the stuff that I've liked is Christian news sites and things like that. So I'll go read that, and I can see scriptures, and I continue to learn and grow, but I really need to be spending more time in that, and I really feel like I need to do that. But your thing may be completely and totally different. There's a variety of things that can keep us from spending time with God. Like whenever you go to work, you may decide that you want to work longer hours, and so you envelop yourself in more and more work, and then you don't have time for God, right? Anybody else had that happen where you're just too busy to spend time with God? No? Nobody else? Oh, Noah has. Noah's been too busy. we can get wrapped up in work. We can come home and we can choose to spend from 5:30 when we get home until 10:30 at night watching TV. So then it gets to be time to go to bed, and we miss all of our time with God that way. We may want to spend our time with our family, so we can go home and do family things, and that takes up all of our times, and we don't spend our time in prayer or reading His Word and trying to get closer with Jesus, which the effect that has on us is if we're not growing closer to Jesus, then we may be ineffective in the other areas that we're trying to pour time into. It could be that we go home like I used to, get off work at 7 o'clock, and by 7:15, because I left early, I would be on EverQuest, and I would play that till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. So gaming can be something that stands in our way. There's all these different things that we need to look at in our life and say, hey, if I'm not spending time with God, He gives me 24 hours a day, the least that I could give Him is something. And if we're not doing that, then there's probably something in our life that we're putting ahead of God and making that more and more important to us. So it could be a variety of different things. And a couple of scriptures that I have here is, we know that our old self was crucified. This is Romans 6:6. That should be in the computer. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. We know that Jesus should change us. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. So we know that Jesus will change our life, just like He did that day for Zacchaeus. He told him that salvation has come to his house today, and that He came to seek the lost. So those are like the things that can keep us believers away from growing closer to Christ, right? But what about the people that don't believe in God at all? What about those guys? What is holding them back? Any ideas? What may be holding people back that don't believe? Or sin. It can be their pride. They don't want to put anything above themselves. They want to be their own gods. It can be misinformation. Ever go to one of the atheist sites out there and read the stuff that they've come up with, and they talk about the Bible like they know it, but then the things that they talk about, you're like, they don't even understand what they're talking about. This is crazy. So misinformation can be something that can keep people back from believing in Jesus, because they've taken what some other people that hate God have written down, and they start to believe that and put that ahead of what God actually wants for their life. So God can change those people. It could be apathy. It could be that they just don't care. Like, Jesus isn't anything that's been an important part of their life, and they just don't care about it. They want to look into other things. They want to live their lives the way that they want to, and it's not anything that does it. I see frequently reason is a big reason that they want to. They say that they learned how to reason and that the scriptures aren't true. So they can say a lot of different things, but as we study the Word and we look at all the different ways that it's been proven true, from the Old Testament and archaeological things to the beginning of creation and all these things following up. They say that Jesus wasn't alive, but there's people outside of the Bible that wrote about Jesus. It's like there's all these things that they put into their mind, and then they just want to set all that stuff aside, and they just don't care that much, whenever the Creator should be one of the most important things in their life. So here is what the message is this morning. So we need to do whatever we can to get to Jesus. We need to be like Zacchaeus, so we can go up ahead, go around, go through, go however we have to get up into the tree to where we can see Jesus whenever He gets to us. So that may mean some of us may have to stop getting on Facebook so much. And I've talked about that a bunch of times from up here. And then I take a little break, and then I do really, really, really good, and then I go right back to old habits. So Facebook users can mess up stuff. We may need to stop watching so much TV in the evenings. We may need to stop playing so many video games like what I was doing, or we may need to stop spending as much time with our family and spend some time with God, so that we can spend incredible amounts of time with our family and it be truthful and be really, really, really good. and I fail in the spending time with family. I try to go home and spend some time, but then, you know, we all get lost in Facebook or Instagram or anything else, and we're not really spending time together. We're spending time in the same room, but we're not spending time together. And we got into a really good habit of doing our devotional every night, but then we've slowly gotten to where we're not doing that as often, and we got to get to that. So we need to be more like Zacchaeus and just bust through whatever we have to get to Jesus and learn what he wants us to be and what he wants us to do with our life so our identity can be found in him. So I want to read Hebrews 12. I don't know if I put that one in there. Hebrews 12, 1b. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So we need to start putting God first so that we can run the race, so that we can be confident in our beliefs. Whenever we are speaking to other people about Jesus, which I believe is our purpose, once we know Jesus, we need to share him with everybody we come in contact with, because he doesn't want anyone to perish, so we shouldn't want anyone to perish. So we need to spend our time getting to know God, and spend that time in prayer, spend that time in his word, spend our time learning and loving Jesus so that we can love other people better. If we spend the time with God, it'll improve all of our different ministries, from right here in this church to our ministries with our family, our ministries at our job, our ministries outside of all the different things in every facet of our lives. Our ministries will be better if we're growing closer and closer to God every single week. And I love what 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 25 says. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we have an imperishable. So while a runner spends all their time running just to get a trophy or whatever they're trying to get, we're running towards Jesus, and what we're going to get in him is imperishable. It never dies. It's eternal. We're going to have everlasting life with our God, our Creator, and the one that loves us more than anyone else could. So, for me, I want to make a commitment in front of you guys and in front of God that I want to be more like Zacchaeus, and I want to do whatever it takes to grow my relationship with Jesus. God already sees me. He's already looking for me. It says that he's seeking out people. He's coming to them. He knows us more than anyone else does. It says in Psalms that he knitted us together in our mother's womb. So he has known us from that time that he created us. He knows baby Jericho. He knitted him together in your womb. It's an awesome thing to know that God has known us from that time and even before that time, and sees all. So it's pretty cool. And he's also waiting. Whenever we have managed to work our way around or as part of the crowd where we can't see Jesus right, God is always there waiting, just like in the parable of the father and the two prodigal sons. He's there ready to hike up that tunic and come running towards us whenever we're ready to come back to him. So I think we should go. We should go to him, and we should love him. And for now, I want to pray for us. And I didn't put any kind of music or anything in the computer because I completely forgot. But if you guys bow your heads and pray with me this morning, and I'll have a little bit of quiet time, and you guys are welcome to come up to the altar, or you can stay right there where you're at and just pray quietly to yourself. Or if you want me to pray with you, I'll be up here, or I can go somewhere else. Dear God, we love you, and we want to honor you with our lives. We want to be more like Zacchaeus, that we will go through or around or over or whatever we need to do to get through the obstacles that we need to get through so that we can see you, so that we can see what your plan is for our lives, so that we can follow you wherever you would have us go. God, I ask you to open up our hearts, open up our minds, show us the things that are in our life that's preventing us from spending time with you. God, we have so much in a day, and there's always a place that we can carve out some time to spend it with you in prayer and spend it with you in your word. We just ask you to point those ways out to us so that we can see that the way that you do, so we can recognize that we need that time with you to grow in you and allow you to grow us. God, for the members that aren't here, I just ask that you would show them the ways in their lives also that they're not coming to you, that there's obstacles and things standing in their way, but I just ask that you would show that to them so that they can get around those and spend time with you. And you are an awesome daddy that's just always there waiting for us. You will always love us. You always care for us. You always want the best for us. God, it's us who mess up, and we just ask that you would show us where we mess up so that we could stop doing that and be there. God, help us to be a light in this dark world that just seems to continue growing darker. Help us to share the message of your Son, Jesus Christ, that he came to this earth whenever he didn't have to, so that he could die for our mess-ups, for our sins against you. God, help us to show people in a loving way how much they need you. And while we can do this life without you, that whenever we reach eternity, we're going to want to have you. God, help us to see our friends and our family and everyone as you see them, with love and wanting them to come to know you. God, strengthen us. Give us courage. Give us boldness. Give us all the tools and the knowledge that we need to talk with people about you and help them to understand the scriptures properly. Give us a love for you, for your word, for the love story that you've written to us in your word. Give us a love for Jesus that's unchanging and that is like a burning fire that never goes away, that we just want to know Jesus with all of our being and want others to know him the same way. Father, as we walk out these doors today, I just ask that you would be with us. Help us to have a great Sunday. Help those that are traveling to come back home safely. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all. So the only thing that we have coming up is next Saturday. I will text Trey to let him know the time that we decide. We're going to shoot some be shooting some skeet. I think what the plan is we've all got our shotguns, and if somebody don't, they can use one of ours. We're going to buy, I forget what Travis said, I think he said it's like $9 or $11 for 90 of the skeet things, so they're cheap, and then a box of bullets. He said that the box of bullets comes in 100, so I was like, well, I guess I'm going to have 10 extra shells then from stuff. Okay, I'm probably not going to be that good of a shot, but it'll be fun to be out there and hanging out with the guys. And hopefully, after we're done, it'll be like close to lunchtime. Big Dave may have to leave, and I think Travis may have to leave pretty quickly thereafter. What time do y'all got to be at Miriam's? 2?
Oh, I assumed we were going to go to the baby shower, but y'all were still going to be mandated.
Sweet. Well, Big Dave has to be there because he's the grandpa. So hopefully we're going to cook some burgers or something like that and have some burgers. I know Trey has to be to work around noon, so maybe like 11:30 we can start cooking some burgers and he can eat really quick before he goes back over there. So I don't think it'll take all that long to go through the ammunition because we'll be having a lot of fun. Travis has an automatic skeet thrower and somebody else has a hand one, so... I don't think it would be wise of anybody to use the automatic one and the hand one at the same time, because if I'm the one up shooting, I may end up taking out like all three or four of them instead of just the ones I'm supposed to. Okay, it won't really happen. The gun has to be aimed that way. So the kid has to stay back there. That's the rules of gun shooting. Okay, so Noah has to stay home. Anyway, I think that's all we got coming up. What is the something in August that we're going to start thinking about, but we haven't really planned it yet? Okay, the chili cook-off, that's what it was. Yeah, we got to do that's when the retreat thing will be. We'll start the series probably in October. So August, September, we'll start doing something different than what we've been doing. But then we'll start the marriage thing for strengthening marriages. And it needs to end in November because that's whenever all the promised people will be done. Otherwise, they can't be involved in that thing. We'll start planning that sometime soon also. And then something really cool that Trey may want to be part of is I'm going to talk to Big Dave and Thurman and all them. I don't know if we'll be able to this coming Wednesday, but anyway, I want to start doing a thing called God's Story for Sunday school. And God's Story, it's like there's little boxes of these story sets. So this morning we looked at the very first one to see, you know, kind of if we liked how it was going to be or whatever, and I'd seen it before, but there's boxes. And this morning what we learned is, do you know what was created first? Angels. Everybody wants to think of Genesis 1:1 where it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but then in Job he says that the angels were there singing as he was creating, so the angels would have been created first. So we learned that the angels were created first, and then what happened to one of the angels, Noah, do you remember? Yeah, Lucifer. He decided that he wanted to be above God, so he went and got one-third of the angels to believe him over God, and then God ended up having to, he couldn't be in the presence of this sin because he's holy, so he cast out Satan and all of his demons to earth. So it's pretty cool. Whenever I first heard that before, you know, super smart, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and he's like, yeah, that's great, but you're wrong, and then he showed, and I was like, oh, cool, so now I see the angels were created first. So then it's going to go into the first people were created, and then Cain and Abel, and it's going to walk through the whole story of God, everything pointing up to Jesus where it goes, but each time you can only stay within that box. You can't go ahead. You can use whatever boxes you've had before that, but you can't go to anything past that. So during the discussions, you're staying within Lucifer and the fallen angels, the demons. And then the next time we'll be talking about something different. We stay within all the box that we're in and all the ones before that, but we can't go ahead and talk about Jesus and all that kind of stuff because we're learning God's story all the way up through. So I'd love for anybody that wants to come and be part of that series. But I'm going to talk to Big Dave about it, make sure that that's cool with him because he's been teaching the Sunday school. But I think it'll be a fun one to start with and make Sunday school kind of cool that we can invite people out to learn God's story the way that it's laid out in the Bible instead of all these precepts that we've got. So anyway, that is all that I have for this Sunday. Love you guys. Glad y'all could come out.